going to read four passages. The first one is in the book of Genesis, in chapter 22. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Book of Exodus in chapter 25. The book of Exodus in chapter 25. Verse 22. And there I will meet with thee, I will commune with thee from above, the mercy seat. 1 Kings, chapter 17, the first book of Kings, in chapter 17. Verse 3. Get thee hence, turn eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Verse 9. Arise, get thee to Seraphith, which belongeth unto Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Final reading in Acts chapter 16, the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16. In this chapter, Paul wants to preach the gospel at Asia. He's forbidden by the Spirit. He wants to preach the gospel in Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus suffered him not. Look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them, or as one translates it, to preach the gospel there. The Lord will bless to us this morning the reading from His own precious word. The theme of the conference the last 2 days has been God. And that's what's before me this morning as we consider those 4 chapters. We are going to notice God. Way back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, we read a verse like this. I have not sent these prophets, but they have went. I have not prophesied unto them, but they have prophesied. Now that can't be said about the men that we have read about this morning. We've read about 4 of the greatest men in the Bible. Abraham, the friend of God. Moses, the man of God. Elijah, the prophet of the Lord. And Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. 4 of the greatest men that we could read about in the Bible. I want you to notice 4 things about those 4 men this morning. In the life of Abraham, in Genesis 22, there's a divinely appointed place for worship. In the life of Moses, in Exodus chapter 25,
There's a divinely appointed place for communion. In 1 Kings chapter 17 in the life of Elijah, there's a divinely appointed place for being sustained. And in the life of Paul in Acts chapter 16, there's a divinely appointed place for preaching the gospel. You know, there's one thing I dread in life, and that's being found in a place where God never intends me to be. You can't be a pleasure to God. You can't be happy in soul. And you'll neither be a help to the saints or a help to the sinner if you're not in the divinely appointed place. Now here's God in those four chapters. In Genesis chapter 22, God proves Abraham. In Exodus chapter 25, God gives a promise to Moses. In 1 Kings chapter 17, God provides for Elijah. And in Acts chapter 16, God guides the Apostle Paul. Now I want you to notice what the chapter says this morning, beloved. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham. You know, God had proved Abraham before. In Genesis chapter 12, God proves Abraham as to his obedience. In Genesis 13, he proves Abraham as to his motive. In Genesis chapter 15, he proves Abraham as to his faith. And in Genesis chapter 22, he proves Abraham as to his love. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham. Now I want to make it very clear this morning. God does not want Isaac's life. What God wants in Genesis 22, God wants Abraham's love. And you know, it's nice to notice how God acts, how Abraham acts towards God in this chapter. We haven't time to touch it this morning, but I want you to notice what marks Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Three times in the chapter, Abraham uses the same phrase. Behold, here am I. He says that to God. He says that to Isaac. And he says that to the angel, behold, here I am. Now notice what marks Abraham in relation to God in this wonderful chapter. Abraham listens to God. Now the Bible teaches me this. If I don't listen to God in his word, God will not listen to you and I in our prayers or in our worship. And the first thing that marks Abraham in this chapter, he's a man that listens to God. Notice other things that marks him. He's a man that obeys God. He's a man that fears God. And he's a man that worships God in Genesis chapter 22. That's the man Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. You know, there's four chapters I've been thinking about during the week. And in those four chapters we see things that are similar. And then in those four chapters we see things that are of a vast contrast. Now I'm going to give you the four chapters very quickly. I've been thinking of Genesis 22. I've been thinking about Job chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 22, God proves Abraham. In Job chapter 1, Satan proves Job. Now let me say this morning. God proves in order that he might approve. The devil, he tempts and he proves in order that he might disapprove. And there's a vast contrast between God in Genesis 22 and the devil in Job chapter 1. I've been thinking of another two chapters in the Bible. I've been thinking of Isaiah chapter 43. And I've been thinking of Mark's Gospel chapter 9. Now think of those two chapters. In the both of the chapters, you read about water and you read about fire. And in both of those chapters, you read about God and you read about the devil. Now, I want you to notice the difference this morning, beloved. Just as there is a difference between Genesis 22 and Job chapter 1, there is a vast difference between Isaiah 43 and Mark's Gospel chapter 9. Now think of Isaiah chapter 43, the well-known verse. When thou passest through the water, I'll be with thee. Through the river it shall not overflow thee. Through the fire thou shalt not be burned. Now I want you to notice what the verse does not say. And then I want you to notice what the verse does say. For example, the verse does not say, if we pass through the water, if we pass through the river, if we pass through the fire. It doesn't say if, but it says when. I want to make it very clear this morning. Every Christian, without exception, we're going to pass through the water. And we're going to pass through the river. And we're going to pass through the fire of affliction. But notice what it does say in our verse. Through. In other words, you enter into it. And you pass through it. That's Isaiah chapter 43. But come quickly now to Mark chapter 9. Here's a father who has a boy. Notice what the devil does to that boy. Casts him into the fire. And casts him into the water. Now notice the contrast between Isaiah 43 and Mark chapter 9. It's the water first. It's the river second. And it's the fire third. I tell you today, dear child of God, our God is merciful. The water first. The river second, and the fire third, our God is merciful. But come to Mark chapter 9. Into the fire. And into the water. The fire is mentioned first, and the water is mentioned second, and it reminds me today, beloved of this, that the devil is merciless. Well, let's ask the question, why the experience of Isaiah 43? Why the experience of Mark chapter 9? Notice the lovely verse again. When thou passest through the water, I'll be with thee. Through the river, it shall not overflow thee. And through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Why does the people of God pass through trials? In order that heaven might be brought nearer. In order that God's precious word might be dearer. And in order that we might experience a consciousness of the Lord being with us, that you and I would never know if we didn't pass through it, as seen in Isaiah chapter 43. But why Mark chapter 9? The devil cast him into the fire and cast him into the water in order that he might destroy him. I'm thinking today of the words of the psalmist, is it? In Psalm 66. We went through fire and we went through water, but the Lord has brought us into a wealthy place. Young widow in Aberdeen, Scotland. She had just been married, I believe it was, for 1 year. And her husband was drowned at sea. Will you listen to the words of that young widowed woman? Here we have the sorrow without the reason. The time is coming when we'll have the reason without the sorrow. And I come to Genesis chapter 22. And I notice that God proves Abraham in Genesis 22. Very quickly, let's think of the second thought. There I will meet with thee. There I will commune with thee above the mercy seat. A divinely appointed place for communion. I want the ear of every Christian this morning. And I want to say this. The most important thought in your life, and the most important thing for my life, is communion with our God. Communion with our God. Someone has put it like this. We spend our life the wrong way round. Christ lived with God, and he visited men. You and I live with men, and we visit God. Let me say this morning. In the life of every man of God, there's a chamber. Joseph had a chamber where he could weep.